Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this January 14. Chris Christie, this hour of the program. Chris Christie wants to be the Republican nominee and win the presidency in 2016. And so he is worthy of an hour discussion. He's going to be giving his State of the State address in New Jersey about an hour from now, and indications are that he will mention the scandal that embroils him, but just mention it. He'll be on to other issues. This is just all over the place, as you well know. The LA Times had an interesting piece yesterday looking at the history of the state of New Jersey, saying it has an outsized history of sleaze and outright public thievery. There are other reports that say if you look at crime in New Jersey and shenanigans, that New Jersey is really not very high on the list of all 50 states. We talk about Chris Christie this hour of the program. As you well know, he said last week, "I am who I am, but I am not a bully." Our guest this hour will be able to explain who is Chris Christie. Ben Dworkin is with us, an adjunct assistant professor and director of the Rebovich Institute for New Jersey Politics, a veteran of New Jersey politics. He has extensive experience in campaigns and elections, government and legislation, lobbying, and issue advocacy. We'll be welcoming phone calls for him during the course of this hour, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. As the Bridgegate scandal continues to get a great deal of scrutiny, there's now a federal investigation looking into how the governor of New Jersey may have improperly used Hurricane Sandy relief funds to put his family in an ad telling people to come back to New Jersey. And there are several mayors of other cities in New Jersey saying that because they did not support Governor Christie, they found that meetings that had been scheduled with their areas to look at all kinds of issues were abruptly canceled. So there you go. And there will be more, I'm sure, that will come up during the course of this hour. Professor Ben Dworkin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, pleasure to have you here. Before we talk about last week, let's look at today for a moment. The governor is giving his State of the State in about an hour from now. Is there any indication as to whether or not he will address this scandal?
It's been leaked out that he will address it. It's certainly the elephant in the room. It would be really hard to just give an entire major political address, the State of the State, and not talk about this issue. But I think he'll just mention it, say it's being investigated. I've talked about it. We need to move forward. Government can't shut down because of this ongoing investigation. And I think he'll pivot from that point to talk about his record of bipartisanship, the kinds of progress that he'll say the state has made, and where he wants to go in the future.
Mm-hmm. And yet, you've got so many people looking not only at Bridgegate, but at other potential scandals as well. The New Jersey Assembly is stepping up their investigation. They'll be putting together a special committee to focus on the issue. You've got federal investigators looking at this. You've got press galore. I can't believe how many stories there have been on this.
Well, it's one of those, you know, the media giveth and the media taketh away.
Right.
We had a situation where Chris Christie, as of November, when he won in New Jersey, a pretty blue state, with 60% of the vote, was the presumptive favorite for the GOP nomination for president in 2016.
Yes.
That kind of attention will put a target on your back. So you have a situation where the media is fascinated with this particular story. They're going to be looking at every other possible story, even those that have already been reported in the New Jersey press and largely ignored by the voters. They have new life when you become a national candidate like Chris Christie has.
Right. So when he said, "I am who I am, but I am not a bully," a lot of people have countered that and said, "You are a bully. Here are indications that you have bullied many people in the state of New Jersey during the time of the time you've been in office." Is that an apt description of the governor, that he is a bully or not?
I don't. I am one who doesn't really think so. It's not that he's a bully. I think he is. He's extremely aggressive, and therefore very tough talking. You know, a bully. This is why I would say it's not really a bully. A bully. The premise behind a bully is that he has a glass jaw. You know, you stand up to the bully, and the bully will back down. That's not Chris Christie. You stand up to him, and he just comes at you harder. No, I think he was. He was tougher. He was more petulant than bullying. But, you know, even more to the point, voters didn't care that he was a bully. Mm. I mean, Democrats cared, but they weren't going to vote for him anyway, or at least a bunch of them weren't. Voters understood he was a bully, but I think in today's electorate, where people are agitated, they're frustrated with the dysfunction they see in Washington, D.C., they want a bully. You know, the teachers' union is not particularly well-liked, so when someone gets up and yells about them, great, let them bully the teachers' union. That was positive. What we see here in this case with the Bridgegate is a matter of escalation, and here's where it becomes a real political problem for Chris Christie, because he's not being accused of bullying. He's being accused of abuse of power, and that's a whole different level. It's the difference between a schoolyard kid who, you know, intimidates smaller kids in the playground. And you have to compare that to what he's being accused of now, which is a teacher, a vindictive teacher picking on a student. You know, it's just that's abuse of power, not just bullying. And the abuse of power narrative that is being portrayed, in which Christie is being portrayed in the national media, I think that's going to be much tougher for him to shake as he moves towards 2016.
And that's interesting. E.J. Dionne had a column over the weekend saying that using public facilities for selfish ends is the very definition of corruption, which is why this story really bothers people. Is it a story of corruption?
Well, I mean, that's one definition of corruption. We should just be clear. Many people would define corruption as the use of public assets or bribery, you know, the use of a public position to embellish yourself, to get money. So the person who takes $5,000 to vote for a contractor to get a contract in your town, that's corruption. This is more, it looks like some kind of act of political retribution. You know, one of the problems here is that we don't really know. We know what happened, but we don't know why.
Right.
And because we don't know why, every conceivable theory about what could have happened, does it relate to a billion-dollar development project adjacent to the George Washington Bridge? Does it relate to the political fights in New Jersey over Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court nominees? Does it relate to an endorsement, as has been profited out there, that never came from the Fort Lee, New Jersey mayor? No one really knows. Mm-hmm. And until we know, it's almost impossible for Chris Christie to get beyond this.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised, and maybe there's a different response in New Jersey that we just are not privy to, but it's striking to me, Ben, that I don't see a whole lot of people endorsing Chris Christie, saying give him the benefit of the doubt. There's not enough information here. He doesn't seem to have a lot of vocal supporters, at least nationally in the Republican Party. Does he in New Jersey?
He does, but there's still wait and see kind of situation. No one wanted to get too far out ahead. And so the leader of the assembly, the Republicans in the General Assembly in New Jersey, our lower house of our state legislature, he has come out in support of Chris Christie publicly. The leader of the state Senate has not. The Republican leader in the state Senate has not. It's been tough. It's a bit of a lonely road, and largely, I think, that's because no one wants to get out in front of this issue when we don't know what's going on. You know, Chris Christie gave this almost a two-hour press conference last week, and he did as well as one could do with his mea culpa and his I'm sorry and I am upset and this whole thing saddens me. He did as well as he could do given the constraints, and the biggest constraint is he didn't have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, page one of the crisis communications handbook that's out there will tell you, get all the facts out, and then there's no more story once everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Christie was able to give the apology, but he didn't have all the facts.
Yeah. So who's going to get at all the facts? Is it that that committee that's been established in the legislature in New Jersey? Is it a
federal? We actually have two committees now because the General Assembly created its super committee to look at it, and the state Senate, which is also run by the Democrats, didn't want to be left behind, so
mm-hmm.
they've created their version of their own super committee. They will get certain facts. There are likely to be a federal investigation from the U.S. attorney here in New Jersey, who is more likely to get to the crux, to the bottom of this. And the reason why the U.S. attorney will be able to do it even better than the legislative committees is that the U.S. attorney is able to give, promise that no one will get arrested. And, you know, the legislature can't promise that. They're just trying to get information. So people will take the Fifth, claim their Fifth Amendment right to not testify before the legislative committee, and there's nothing that the legislature can really do to compel. A U.S. attorney can compel that kind of testimony. Things, emails won't be redacted when the U.S. attorney starts investigating. So I think that's where, unless somebody else spills or comes up or leaks something to the press that we haven't seen yet, we're going to have to wait for a federal criminal investigation to
mm-hmm.
figure out what's going on.
The gentleman we've been seeing all over the news is New Jersey Assemblyman John Wisniewski, a mm-hmm. Democrat who's heading the legislative investigation. He has said, and I want your response to this, it strains credibility to say that somebody in as high a position as a deputy chief of staff, somebody in as high a position as the governor's principal press spokesperson, somebody in as high a position as his campaign manager, all those names are in these emails, did not ever communicate this to the governor, that the governor could be totally unaware of what was going on for a fairly lengthy period of time with this horrendous traffic situation.
My reaction to that is that it's it has left more than just Assemblyman John Wisniewski scratching his head.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us have looked at this. All indications in the past 4 years during Chris Christie's first term were that he was the top of the pyramid in his government, in his administration's organizational chart. He was very much on top. Things flowed through his office. Now, whether or not someone told him or they just had a wink and a nod and they moved ahead, they thought this was what he wanted, again, we don't know. And we don't know if we'll ever know. But it is it does stand in contrast. This portrayal of Chris Christie not knowing about something like this does stand in contrast to the public impression that has been given for the last 4 years. That is, Chris Christie is an effective manager. He's very much on top of his administration.
Mm-hmm.
Cabinet members don't freelance. They don't get out ahead of the governor. Things don't happen until the governor's office says they are going to happen. So in that kind of portrayal of his management style, to suddenly claim he had no idea about what was going on in this particular town with this giant public asset, the George Washington Bridge, that it strains yes, it is a strain on the imagination
mm-hmm.
to think that that really happened.
And undermines perhaps the very reason that people liked him?
In part, sure. It's a blow to the Christie brand. But it's not an insurmountable blow. You know, in 2016, no one is going to vote for or against Chris Christie because a couple lanes were closed in September 2013 to the George Washington Bridge. That's not the reason why anyone's going to vote for him or against him in say, the Iowa primary, Iowa caucuses, excuse me. What they will be voting on is a general impression. What do you think of Chris Christie? Is he the kind of guy where, okay, this slipped up, but he took responsibility for it, fired people, and moved on? Or is he a petty politician, as his critics are going to try and portray him as? So that, I think, means even when this Bridgegate situation is done, and it's not ending anytime soon, but even when it's done, it's only the beginning as his critics try to use it just one cut, part of a larger effort to paint Chris Christie as not just a typical politician, but an arrogant and petty one.
Right. It seems to me as though it will be difficult for him. I understand that he is supposed to call for a lengthening of the school year in his state of the state and a lengthening of the school day. If you're embroiled in this controversy, I'm thinking good luck on trying to get any of that legislation discussed.
It's true. Look, one of Christie's brilliant maneuvers as a very successful governor in his first term was that he was able to mobilize public opinion to garner media attention for his agenda. And he overwhelmed anybody else who was trying to offer something different or trying to slow him down. You know, your listeners might not realize New Jersey politics is dictated by some very unique political geography. We have no major media market. There's no one newspaper that covers the majority of the state or anywhere close to it. No one TV station. If you want to run statewide for governor in New Jersey, you have to run it, put on advertising on New York network television, the number one most expensive media market, and Philadelphia, the fourth most expensive, which is a reason why our campaigns are so ridiculously expensive. All of this is to say, how do you get New York network TV and Philadelphia network TV, their local news, how do you get them to cover New Jersey, to come across the river, the Hudson River in the north, the Delaware River in the south, to come across and cover New Jersey? Well, only the governor can command that attention. Chris Christie has been masterful between YouTube and social media and his own personality, generating media attention and public focus on the agenda items that he wanted to do. What's going to be tough for him in this coming term is how do you get that media attention when all anybody wants to talk about is Bridgegate?
Right. Yeah,
and
exactly.
That is where – so it was a little bit of a longer way to just explain the context, but he was once very successful at doing that, and that's going to be – much tougher. So all the policy ideas that he might mention today or in his upcoming inaugural address, he's about to be sworn in for his second term, or a few weeks after that, he'll have his budget address to the state legislature. All of these things are going to be overclouded, be clouded by this bridge controversy. And that just is going to suck the oxygen out of the attention that he wants for a particular policy agenda.
Yeah. Well, let's go to phone calls. Here's how you can reach us. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Our email, talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Ben Dworkin is our guest, professor at Rider University, director of the Rebovich Institute for New Jersey Politics. He has a lot of experience in campaigns, elections, government, legislation, frequently quoted by major newspapers in the country and, of course, all over New Jersey and probably Philadelphia and New York as well, huh? What do you think of this? The media has been on this story very, very extensively since last week, since the governor gave his two-hour press conference. And now there are more stories surfacing about how he... if you were a Democrat and you weren't going to support him for governor, he was less than friendly. If you did support him, he had you over for a great breakfast in the governor's mansion and said to those assembled, what can we do for you? How can the state work for you? Do you think that there are significant questions about this whole Bridgegate thing? And would you agree that it's a signal of corruption? And as we're looking at, the Republicans are, and the American people are too, because the cycle is so far ahead of when the actual election is, that he wants to be president. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And what does this do to his chances to achieve that highest office? What do you need to hear from him? Do you think he's a bully or not? 800-486-8655. We'll be with you in just a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Chris Christie is the guy we're talking about this hour. 800-486-8655 is our number, and Ray in Milwaukee, our first caller. Hi, Ray.
Yeah, hi. I'm stunned that you nor your guests find this to be an important issue. This guy and what he's doing smells a lot like Scott Walker, Kathleen. And yesterday, Kathleen, you actually said on your show, this probably doesn't really matter. And I was just stunned by that statement. And here's why I think this is bigger than either one of you have led on to. Either way, let's say Chris Christie turns out to have no emails showing he had contact with anybody during those 4 days. If this had just happened on one day, maybe he gets a pass. But this is 4 days, the busiest bridge in the United States of America. Let's say on day two, there's a giant fire in New Jersey. Were the lanes blocked just going into New Jersey, or were they blocked going into New Jersey and back into New York? Let's say we needed emergency vehicles on that day. They weren't even allowed through, Kathleen. Let's say there was a school shooting or something, heaven forbid, like that. The emergency vehicles were not allowed through. What if Scott Walker decided during his turmoil here in Wisconsin, he was going to shut down the Marquette interchange in Milwaukee for 4 days to see if you shut down lanes on a highway, if it causes a backup, and who would believe that for a second?
Ben.
I would consider it, I think it's very serious. I think the caller is absolutely correct. The fact that it happened for 4 days led everyone to start poking into why it was being done, and the initial answers were not seen as credible. And I think we are there are various several class action lawsuits being filed, and we are lucky, as your caller talked about, we are extremely lucky that there wasn't any more tragic situation that was exacerbated because suddenly EMT, emergency medical technician vehicles, doubled or tripled their response times in town. So we have it is a very serious situation. You know, people hear traffic, they dismiss it, but I think your caller is absolutely right.
And does it strike you as just hard to believe that this would be done, because it is hard to understand this, would be done because the Democratic mayor of Fort Lee didn't endorse your reelection? That's just hard to believe.
Well, you know, one of the things about political scandals is that they're always hard to believe after the fact. Really, Nixon was going to win. Why would he even need Watergate? Chris Christie was going to win. What did he care about this particular endorsement? And that's why alternative hypotheses keep being thrown out there. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that. And until we know, it remains a festering wound on the Christie administration. And that, you know, it's the cut that can't be stitched and bandaged up. It's going to continue to bleed.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray, for the call. Allison in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
All
Thanks
right.
for taking my call.
Sure.
So I am actually a Rider University alumna and one of Ben's former students living now in Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh.
Originally.
This little world.
It is a small world.
Yeah. That Chris Christie is actually remarkably popular here in Wisconsin. Green Bay is a much more conservative area than where I grew up, but Chris Christie has a huge number of fans in Wisconsin, and I always wondered how that would play if he ran nationally. But since this whole thing has come out, just my quick comment is I have noticed quite a few people, I don't know if people think because I'm from New Jersey, they need to give me their opinion on New Jersey politics.
I'm sure that's true.
A lot of people have told me that, you know, they see this as New Jersey-style corruption, like as though it's Tony Soprano. And it really surprised me the quick backlash and sort of change of opinion people had on Chris Christie.
I think Allison is absolutely right. We've seen a shift. Now, that shift hasn't been reflected in New Jersey. The most recent and one of the most credible public opinion polls in the state just came out and said all of this broke, after the press conference, and it said Chris Christie had a 58% approval rating. The week before, he had 65%, but, you know, 58% is still pretty good. And so we'll see as it continues. I think there are folks who admire Chris Christie around the country, which is why he was a credible national candidate. They admired that he didn't look or talk like anybody else who was running, and who running for president, that is. And I think that made him very attractive. But there's always a line that could be crossed. And for some people, especially as more evidence comes out, may well be the line that says, you know, we're going to look for somebody else.
Yeah. Ben, I heard a poll today on television this afternoon that 56% of the people in New Jersey also think that he's lying. So what does that say?
Well, that's it's one of those situations where I don't know. I don't know how to interpret that one. I think it's a very fluid situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can say. These, any kind of poll is a snapshot in time, and depending on how you ask the question and what preceded it, things could be changed. But people are skeptical, as they certainly are in Wisconsin and around the country. They're skeptical here. A lot of people don't believe them. But he has a lot of goodwill. A lot of people still like him personally. So we'll have to see, but how involved was he? These kinds of questions, until they're resolved to, you know, most people's satisfaction, again, it's going to continue to fester.
Yeah. Thanks, Allison, for your call.
Allie.
Thanks. Peter in Cedarburg. Hi.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say, I'm a Democrat. I like Governor Christie. I think he did the right thing. The buck stops with him, and then he fired the people in his administration who certainly deserve to be fired. I do take exception with your guest's comment that, well, he's not really a bully because bullies have glass jaws and they back down when confronted, and Christie doesn't back down. That's neither here nor there whether they have a glass jaw or not or back down or not. I think the point is he does seem aggressive, and, you know, Yeah, that's part of his image he needs to work on if he wants to get votes from crossovers like me.
My sense, Peter, and I appreciate your point about whether a bully in the glass jaw definition, but I think the best way to understand Chris Christie is to think of him in his former position. He's a U.S. attorney, an extremely powerful position, a federal prosecutor who just happens to be governor. And so a lot of his leadership style, he goes out, emanates from being this kind of flamboyant, in the press, in your face prosecutor. It's out of a Tom Wolfe novel. he quotes, he will argue his case in the press. He will use misdirection, pick a fight with the teachers union, and yet at the same time, cut property rebates for property taxes, which in New Jersey are the highest per capita in the nation, and a huge ongoing problem among voters in the state. So he uses misdirection. He is flamboyant, gregarious, dominates the media, never asks a question he doesn't already know the answer to. This whole scandal is shocking simply because there have been, you could probably count on your, you know, on one hand, the number of slip-ups that the Christie administration has really made in the first 4 years. So this is a huge one, and I think that's why there is so much attention to it.
The L.A. Times, I don't know if you saw this piece, but it wasn't a very flattering examination of New Jersey, and I want you to put this in a little bit of a current history, or, you know, a little farther out than current history. Political bosses, the author writes, have never gone out of style. Corruption cases pile up more victims than the Sopranos, and elbow-to-the-face tactics are shrugged off by voters, as much a part of Jersey culture as boardwalk custard and stainless steel diners. The state has an outsized history of sleaze and outright public thievery.
Okay, I am one who defends my state, and so let me try and put it in a little
okay.
bit of perspective.
All right.
It's we're not as bad as others. We start with that.
Okay.
And that's not just me. That is, there have been studies, you know, showed about corruption per capita, and I'm not saying wherever we are it's too high, but it's not like we're number one, number two, or number three. And so... why does New Jersey get this bad rap? Well, there's a couple things. First, as I mentioned earlier in our discussion, we get covered by Philadelphia and New York City media, the number four and number one most expensive, biggest media markets in the country. And that just means that local news becomes national news. And, you know, you can be corrupt in North Dakota and nobody really knows about it. In terms of national exposure. Not to insult the people in North Dakota, it was simply a place that came to mind at first. So that is just part of it. We do have a strong tradition of very strong party leaders. Sometimes these people have been corrupt, but not all and not everyone. You know, there are 15,000 elected officials in New Jersey between state, local, municipality, and county level government, 15,000. Chris Christie, when he, for 8 years, was able to put in jail about 140 of them. Now, I'm not saying that's too many, and there are people who would do it, but we're not as bad as a lot of these other places. If you looked at popular culture, and you went and saw American Hustle, and you've been watching The Sopranos on HBO and then watching Boardwalk Empire, you would think this is just run-of-the-mill, murder,
right.
mayhem, bags of money. It's really a little bit – it's more hype. There are a lot of very good, very committed, very public service-oriented who do politics for the right reasons.
I'm sure that's true.
In New Jersey. And my goal – I mean, I'm a professor at Rider University, and I teach students the politics and government of the state of New Jersey, and it's always a goal to try and have them realize it's not a punchline. It's not a joke.
Bernie is next. Hi, Bernie.
Hi. Hi. Are you there?
We're here, Bernie.
Okay. I just wanted to point out, you know, the previous caller mentioned something about it could be Walker, too. Well, it already is, and we have a well-documented case here about the UW-Platteville student who was denied a seat on, I think, the Board of Regents. That was in the news, and This American Life even covered it. Also, Walker's Tea Party support group has done a not real great job, but is still transcribed the recall petition list, put it into a database, located people's houses, and tried to cross-reference it to things like sex offender lists, and this is all online, and this is actively being used by far-right-wing employers to deny people jobs. The obvious implication here, the message being sent is, if you oppose us, we're going to go after your livelihood. So, you know, there it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're getting your information on those stories. If you want to send them our way, I don't know about the Platteville student, and I certainly don't know about the second story you're discussing. So feel free to send us some information. It brings up a point, though, that I wanted to ask you. I have heard from a lot of local reporters who seem to be pretty darn good in New Jersey. If you were to really investigate, let's say, almost any of the 50 governors in this country, if you had the press really on stories and on stories and on them, trying to dig to the bottom, do you think that you could find a kind of corruption in a lot of states in the country? It's just that it's not subjected to very close press scrutiny?
Well, I think we should just be careful about or be specific about how we want to define corruption. The fact that, hey, if you're my, if you're a mayor who supports me and you're a mayor who doesn't support me, the one who supports me is going to get their call returned quicker than the one who doesn't. Is that corruption or is that simply the nature of politics? I think that we should be careful. What moved beyond the line here in the New Jersey case was really the active use of a public asset, the bridge, to impose political retribution.
Right.
I couldn't speak to whether allegations or about any other state. Other than that, this isn't tiddlywinks, and I think everybody, lots of governors understand that politics imbues the running of government. And this is why we created civil service, so that we have people who are not beholden to the new administration or the old administration, but who will implement and carry out the functions of government dispassionately. We all complain about bureaucracy, but there was a reason why it was created, and it's specifically to avoid these kinds of political pressures.
We'll go to some emails. We're talking about Chris Christie this hour of the program, and our guest is Professor Ben Dworkin. He's a professor at Rider University and director of the Rebovich Institute for New Jersey Politics. He's done a lot of research and teaches on campaigns, elections, government, legislation, lobbying, and issue advocacy, and he's been following New Jersey politics for some time. So he's with us to talk about all that's going on with the governor of that state. And we're welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to an email for you, Professor Dworkin. Nancy on Facebook asks, why isn't anyone questioning why the highway department official who carried out the orders isn't being fired? Why wouldn't he have gone to Christie and asked some questions before doing this?
Well, he resigned. The two people, the person, we should just be clear, there is a port authority that oversees all of the New York City, New Jersey airports, Newark International, LaGuardia, Kennedy, all these big airports, as well as these bridges, including the George Washington Bridge. The Port Authority is a bi-state agency with leadership picked from by the New York governor and by the New Jersey governor. The two top people picked by Governor Christie at the Port Authority have both resigned. So I don't think they hung around long enough to be fired. They obviously understood. One insisted he was always going to go, and the other just decided he was going to be a problem for the governor, and so he left.
Mm-hmm.
It was this second employee, a man named David Wildstein, who was brought before the state legislative investigatory committee, and he was the one who took the Fifth Amendment and therefore just refused to elaborate on any of these emails and text messages that had been uncovered during the discovery process.
Will he eventually have to talk to somebody?
Again, that's where you're going to have to get into a prosecutor role. There's not much more the legislature. They put him up for contempt, which is a misdemeanor. But the only the power of a U.S. attorney is the kind of thing where you can get somebody to actually speak. It's the U.S. attorney who can offer immunity from prosecution as an incentive to explain and to talk. And it was hinted largely by Mr. Wildstein's attorney during that hearing in which his client was taking the fifth for repeatedly throughout the for all the questioning. It was hinted by his attorney that if we were offered immunity, we'll have plenty to tell you. But the legislature can't offer immunity. So if he's going to eventually have to talk, it's going to be because a U.S. prosecutor wants him to.
Yeah. Mitch in Rio, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. Well, I was going to, first of all, that last caller, I think the tabloids are looking for some good people to hire. That kind of blew me away. But anyways, there was a lady in Dixon, Illinois, who for decades pulled $54 million out from under the noses of not only the people of Dixon, Illinois, but bankers, lawyers, accountants. No one seemed to know that. And you could say, well, she was a lone person, and with the governor, there was several people involved. Well, then on that hand, you could say, well, all the scandals surrounding our president, there were a lot of people involved also, but he denies knowing any of that. So I think this is just a lefty move to discredit him, and that's all it is.
All right, Mitch. A lefty move to discredit him. Ben.
It's a combination of a couple different things. There is something there, and that's what these emails and texts that came out last week clearly show. So it's not completely baseless. It is grounded in some very serious actions, and what is unclear is how they emanated and who was involved. At the same time, we should, yes, recognize for the media, this is a feeding frenzy. People, Wisconsin Public Radio is covering this.
Right.
And so it's fascinating in large part because Chris Christie is the presumptive favorite for the Republican nomination to be president. So
right.
He gets and warrants more attention. But there is also, there are ambitious Democrats in the state of New Jersey who are going to be pushing this. There are worried, concerned national Democrats who are going to attack Chris Christie because they don't want to see him be a strong candidate against the Democratic nominee in 2016. And there are Republicans who maybe they want to be president and the Republican nominee in 2016. And they're not particularly helpful here for Chris Christie. So when you have all of those groups pushing, talking, advocating, spinning, the media soaking it all up, promoting tremendous amount of airtime and column inches to reporting on it, as long as there's new information coming out and every day we get a little bit more,
yes,
this is going to continue. So it is both, I think, a real issue, but certainly it has political overtones, and people have people are certainly working political angles as part of this larger issue.
Let's thanks for the call. We go to Elaine in Colfax. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I just had a couple comments, and one was the Platel story.
Yes, I recall the story now.
He was about to join the Board of Regents,
yes.
And they discovered that he had signed the recall, which he didn't even remember doing because his mother was a teacher, and he was upset about what was going on with his mother. And he actually supported Walker, 95% of what Walker's doing he likes, and they threw him out on his ear because he signed the petition. And it happened just, brutally. And also Walker, when he was recorded in a prank phone call where he thought David Koch was talking to him, he said that they had thought about putting troublemakers into the peaceful protests in Madison. He also laughed about divide and conquer theories of you know, controlling.
Right. So are you, but this hour really isn't about Scott Walker. So are you comparing the kind of behavior to Chris Christie or what?
I think there's a relationship between Walker being a presidential hopeful as well as Christie, and their way of handling politics is dangerous and should be investigated.
Okay, and I do recall vaguely in the back of my head, I thought about that I remember this story about the Platteville student. KP pulled this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. University of Wisconsin Platteville engineering student anticipating a new seat on the UW Systems Board of Regents, renounced at the 11th hour by Governor Scott Walker, who withdrew the young man's appointment after finding out he had signed a petition as an 18-year-old freshman calling for the governor's recall. So that story, but that's that story. But I really do want to move back to Chris Christie here. And I want for you to, one of the more interesting stories I've found over watching a lot of this the last couple days has been involving the state Supreme Court in New Jersey and appointments to that court and the phrase that Governor Christie used to describe the Democrats. There really was a lot of game playing is too mild a word to use for that. Can you explain that, please, Ben?
Sure. Let me try and do it quickly. There are seven members of the New Jersey State Supreme Court. By tradition, since the modern history of the state, since our last constitution, 1947, by tradition only, it's always been either 4-3 Democratic appointees or 4-3 Republican to Democratic appointees. So a traditional Democratic seat would remain Democratic. The other thing that happens, the way we just run our courts and our judges, is that when you get appointed by the governor picks all the judges, the state Senate has to advise and consent and approve. The judge gets 7 years initially, then comes up for reappointment, and unless there's some kind of scandal, unless the judge wants to leave to go make more money in the private sector, they routinely get reapproved, and then they serve until age 70. So what happened with the New Jersey Supreme Court was that a Democratic nominee, the only African-American on the state Supreme Court, a man named John Wallace, had finished his 7 years. Chris Christie chose not to nominate, to renominate him. It also exacerbated, this cause began a fight with the state Senate. It turned out John Wallace was from the same county as the state Senate president, a man named Steve Sweeney. Sweeney, a Democrat, took a great umbrage at the lack of this reappointment, and this began a series of fights over the appointees. Chris Christie trying to push, forgetting, saying, I don't particularly care about this 60-year tradition that we've had, but I'm going to try and put lots of my kind of people on the court. The state Senate, run by the Democrats, have been saying no. Mm-hmm. So what we saw just the day before the initial email on August 13th that said time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee, what happened the night before, the afternoon before, Chris Christie had a big press conference and blasted the state Senate Democratic majority as a bunch of animals, saying that they were blocking his nominees and that even though there was a Republican now whose term was up, her seven-year term, he was not going to reappoint her because he wasn't going to put her through mm-hmm. the process.
Yeah.
So that's a very trying to make it concise about what led up to it. There have been allegations that therefore the bridge closing, lane closings, was in retaliation to state senator, the number two Democrat in the state Senate, a woman named Loretta Weinberg. It was an attack against her because Fort Lee, where the bridge is located, is in her district.
Right. Well,
I think it's plausible, but not really credible. Certainly, if you were going to fight the Senate Democrats, there were others who were more in front on this particular issue.
So the why will ye need answers. Ben, thank you so much for being with us. It was really an informative hour. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity.
Our pleasure. Ben Dworkin, an adjunct assistant professor, director of the Rabovich Institute for New Jersey Politics, professor at Rider University. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour. Thanks for all of your calls. Marijuana legalized in Colorado and Washington.